You know, I was just praying a few seconds ago when they were praying for the kids and where to start. There's just so much that the Lord has been sharing with me. Yeah, it's strange. So I'm going to start with this. The Lord talks to me in weird places. And the shower on Sunday morning seems to be like a hot spot for some reason. And I'll be in the shower when you talk about, you know, going into too much detail, Sylvia, right? I was in the shower and he just starts talking to me through my mind and stuff, and it's always something, and the amazing part is he always has me add stuff to my, what I've written down before. And to be honest, most of the time when he's adding that stuff, and then, now I have to get out of the shower really quick and write it down, I'm afraid I'm going to forget, right? So most of the stuff that he has me write down at that moment is probably the most important stuff. And I'm sitting there going like, why in the shower? I can't write in the shower. But anyways, that's what happens. We're in a battle. We're in a battle, right? Sylvia calls me up and says, hey, I got no heat. She's going to be doing the service, right? A couple of weeks ago, probably about a month ago, Steve had a chimney fire in his chimney right before he was supposed to preach. And I don't know if you remember this, but Malcolm on the way up a while ago, when he was coming up to preach, got hit by a moose. Still came up. Everybody still came to church in all those instances. And Malcolm gave one of the best sermons I had heard him say in forever, and we would have missed out on that. So we're in a battle, right? There's obstacles we face, you know? There's challenges. There's challenges that we face, and it's tough. It's tough because it can wear you down. You can start second guessing, right? What's going on here? What's going on here? And even I would say that the battle even happened last week, right? I wasn't here, but I heard stories. And the battle was, I had just brought a message the week before about being bold in Christ, right? Being bold. And then what got happened is they asked for prayers for the kids, and nobody was bold and came up. Isn't that amazing? That's the battles we face. Randy brought that out, right? And thank God for the convicting spirit, right? Thank God for that convicting spirit. Because he's training us, right? He's training us all the time. And sometimes we need that convicting spirit to say, what is going on? Why did you not do that? Why did you not go up and pray when I was telling you in your heart to go up and do it, right? And we all been there. I've been there. I'm an anxious person. There was a time I was on heavy drugs to control my anxiety. And I knew I was scared to step out. And every time I went to step out, I pulled back. And the Lord made me physically sick. He would be gnawing at my gut, and I'd feel this burning in my stomach, making me physically sick, and I was still ignoring him. And it wasn't until I realized, like, that's the Lord doing that to me, and then I started stepping out in faith, that all of a sudden, that feeling would go away. Right? The Lord was talking to me, and he was saying, come on, get going. Stop holding back. Stop holding back. So that's why we've been talking about this year is a year that the Christians need to be bold. And I've already seen some crazy things that have happened with boldness. I saw a hockey player stand up in boldness and not do something with the rest of the people because he went against his religious beliefs. Amen. He wasn't nasty. He didn't make any statements. He just said, I'm not doing this. I'm just not doing this. He knew he was going to get criticized for it. He knew he was going to get, you know, that they were going to come after him. But he said, I'm not talking anymore. I'm just telling you, It goes against what I believe. And that's the boldness that we're talking about, right? Nobody's saying to be bold and go out there and be nasty to anybody. Nobody's saying to push anything on anybody. What we're saying is, if you believe something, be bold in what you believe. Right? We have authority in Christ. Right? He indwells in us. Right? So that's where we need to be. As far as today's message goes, Sylvia said a couple times, and probably the thing that she said the most that really stuck out to me was, I need to sit down and be still. I need to sit down and be still. Now remember this stuff, because you're going to hear this. That was not planned. She just said that, right, Sylvia? I didn't tell you to say that, right? Okay. We need to be quiet our minds. Quiet our minds. Doug read a scripture, Psalm 46:10. Remember that. Remember that, because you're going to hear it again. You're going to hear it again. These are confirming things. Happens every time. Confirming things. That gives me an attitude that I can be bold in, because these confirming things happen before I even speak that I've already been praying about and thinking about with God. Right? So then I have no doubt that when I speak, I'm speaking on what God wants me to speak. Right? And that's where we all need to be. Not just me. We all need to be there. Right? So I was saying, like, last time I was preaching, I was saying, like, let's be bold, right? Like, the Lord told me that He's tired of Christians sitting back and being not sure of themselves, really, I think. Right? We say a prayer that's, I hope this works. We get told to go speak to somebody and maybe about the Lord, and we go and we haphazardly do it. We don't want to be too pushy. We don't want to be too bold. We don't want to be too confident. We go and have to do it. And the Lord's been saying, no. Be confident in your faith. Be confident in your faith. As true believers, we have been given authority through Christ. Now it's scary to step out in faith alone. But to step out in faith with boldness is even scarier. Right? It's hard enough just to step out in faith sometimes. Sometimes it's hard enough to just come up and pray for the kids. But to pray for the kids and be bold about it is even scarier, because now you're confessing to everybody, I really believe what I say. Right? It's scary. But we see many times through the Bible where people's anxieties and weaknesses and fears and inequities are overcome by trusting God and knowing that He's with us and strengthening us, right? Our strength doesn't come from us just saying, I'm going to bull my way through this. Now, you can do that when you're cutting wood, but when you're doing something for the Lord, it's the Lord's strength that works with you. It's the Lord's strength that works with you. Now mind you, God doesn't need us to step out in boldness. He doesn't need us to. But He wants us to. He wants us to. He's encouraging us to step out in boldness. He's a sovereign God. If I don't do it, His will's going to get done anyway, right? Somebody else will. Somebody else will. He doesn't need you to do anything. But He wants you to. And He wants you to with your full heart. Knowing that you're doing it to please Him. He's trying to strengthen us to trust Him more. Right? That's His desire. His desire. The person who created the earth The person who created the universe wants to be in touch with you and me. And he wants to strengthen us all. He wants to strengthen us all. I don't know why I'm getting a little emotional. God wants us to show him our commitment and trust in him. He really does. He doesn't need it. He's okay without it, but he wants it. We serve a jealous God. And I've given a sermon on this right before, but jealous for what? He's jealous for a connection, a relationship with him. Right? How can somebody who oversees everything be jealous? But he has a desire for us. It's a desire for us. Well, this could be one of those. He has a desire for us. As I said during the last sermon, if the Holy Spirit instructs us to be praying for healing, be bold in that. Be bold in that. If God puts a vision in our heart, we've been talking about visions, right? Visions for the church. Be bold in that. Be bold in that. Trust Him. Trust Him that our vision can happen. Let's not just put a vision on paper and speak of it. Let's trust that if it's in God's will, that it will happen. And if it's not God's will, it won't. Right? It won't. If we're staying true to God. If we're instructed to encourage somebody, we were just talking about that, who was praying, Jen was praying for that. I think it was Jen. A fellow believer, an unbeliever. If you pray, if you're trying to encourage that person, be bold. Tell them about the God you serve. And why you can be so bold. You know why I can be bold? Not because I'm so great, but because the God I serve is great. Right? Be bold. If we're being instructed to hold someone you love accountable for their actions, be bold. Be bold, but be true to your heart. Why are you doing that? Why are you holding them accountable? Are you holding them accountable to build yourself up and make yourself look better? Or are you holding them accountable because you're worried about the path they are going on? That it might not be a good path for them. That you're trying to keep them from the edge of the road when a car is coming by. Right? But be bold if you're doing that for the right reason. Be bold. Don't hold back. Don't withdraw. Step out. Is it uncomfortable? Sure it is. Sure it is. I struggle with that. And I'm sure you do too. But be bold. The Lord is telling us, be bold. If we're instructed to defend or stand up for our faith, be bold. Be bold. If someone needs financial help and we have to sacrifice something in order to help that person, be bold enough to trust God that to do that. Right? We're more blessed here than anywhere else. Can we sacrifice a little bit of something to help somebody in need? Be bold. If the Lord is instructing you to. The world needs Christians to be bold. To show that we not only say we believe, but we believe what we say. Can you follow that? Those are two different things. Saying we believe or believing what we say. Be bold. Giving glory to the one that makes us bold. Right? We can't forget that step. You can't forget that step. You can, but you're missing the point. And the person's going to miss the point. They need to know who our God is. It's our action through God. Right? So we need to give credit, because it's not normal for us to step out in faith and do stuff we don't want to do. That is not a normal task. That gets done by trusting God. Having enough faith in Him. Understanding His Word. So when I was praying last week and thinking about the theme of being bold, I was just saying, God, you're talking about being bold. Like, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? What do we do with this? You've given us a message, a theme. What do you want me to bring? What's the next message? And he said, we are not meant to act boldly on our own. We're not. We're not cowboys. Right? We're not cowboys. We have a partner. A powerful partner. Who wants us to be connected to Him. Doesn't need us, but wants us. We are meant to act boldly after listening to, be instructed by the Lord. That's when we become bold. Listening. Listening. There are many instances where we see how important this is of listening to God. Randy gave examples. He said children were like 400 something times in the Bible. Listening is in the Bible an awful lot. An awful lot. I didn't do any research like you did and say, how many times does listening show up in the Bible? But it's in there a lot. It's in there a lot. So if we go to John, we can start to see this kind of theme come out. John 10:27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I know them. If you're His sheep, you hear His voice. And guess what? He knows you. Inside and out. He knows what we're doing wrong. He knows what we're doing right. He knows everything. He even knows when you're gonna, what you're gonna choose. He already knows that. He knows if you're gonna take this and actually apply it to your life or not. He knows that. You're not fooling Him. He's not surprised. You're not surprised. He knows. And they follow me. And they follow me. That one sentence has a lot in it, doesn't it? My sheep hear my voice. Are you a sheep? Are you His sheep? I'm hoping you are. I'm hoping you are. There's times that we say, I know you are, but I don't know. But I'm hoping you are. I'm praying you are. And I know them. Intimately. And they follow me. And if you're a sheep of God, you're going to follow Him. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer you. He will answer us if we call to him. He will answer us and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. What? I don't know everything? I thought I knew everything. No. We don't know much of nothing, honestly. Right? And he wants to show us. If you think you're secure and knowing everything, you're in a bad place. You're in dangerous territory. Because the God I know reveals weekly, daily, minute to minute sometimes. That's the God I know. And he shows me all the time. You think you know? You don't know. The Pharisees and Sadducees, they thought they knew. And Jesus came and said, you don't know. You don't know. You think you know. You've been trained by people, and you've listened to those people, but you don't know. I'm going to tell you what you need to know. That's what Jesus did. So when we think we got it all down, guess what? He has more. He has so much more. So much more that what, Kelly? The book cannot contain it all. Right? There'd be so many volumes, it can't contain it. That's how much more there is to know. Amazing. Isaiah 28:23. Give ear and hear my voice. What's the first thing? Hear my voice. You have to be able to hear his voice. We got to be able to recognize his voice. Hear my voice. Then what? Listen. So, okay, he's got our attention. Now we got to listen. Right? Hearing and listening are two different things. I can hear something and not listen, know what the heck they're saying. Two different things. Hear my voice. Listen and hear my speech. Amazing, right? This is the God that we serve, who wants to be in tune with us. And he's telling us, like, listen, I want you to be bold, but the first thing you got to do is listen. Listen. Hear my voice. Right? Don't go out there and do it on your own. Do it as I instruct you to do it. I mean, Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit after he's about to die, right? He's talking to the disciples. He said, like, listen, I'm going to die and I'm going to leave you. I'm going to ascend into heaven, right? But don't worry. Don't worry, right? John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, and he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. Heard from who? Heard from who? God. Right? The Holy Spirit. He's not going to tell you on his own. He's also going to get it from God. And he's going to relay the message to where? Inside you, because he's indwelling. Right? He's indwelling. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. From me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. All that belongs to the Father is Jesus's. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. He's going to talk to us. He's in us. We're going to hear him. And if we hear him, are we going to listen to him? We see the importance of hearing God in Luke 11:27. And it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from a crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breast which nursed you." But he said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." More than that. There's emphasis on that. If we want to be bold, we need to build up in faith. And Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God." The word of God. You want to hear better? Know your word. So how does God talk to us? We know from Psalms 139 that he knows us intimately, right? That's what we were just saying. He knows us, right? 139. "Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me." He knows you. He knows me. "You know my sitting down." He knows when you get sick. "He knows your rising up." He knows when you get up. "You understand my thought afar off." He knows your thoughts. "You comprehend my path and my laying down, and are acquainted with all my ways." He knows all our ways. That is an intimate God. That's the God we serve. He cares. Do I know how that happens? It makes no sense to me. Zero sense to me. How that happens. But I know it happens. And I can say that boldly. And you know why I can say that boldly? Because I just read it. He knows everyone is different, right? He knows everyone is different. That's the point I'm trying to get to with this. We're all different. He knows where you're at. He knows your struggles. He knows where your pride is. He knows where your weakness is. He knows where your deception is. He knows when you're being fooled when you don't even know you're being fooled. That's crazy. And he speaks to us all differently because he knows us. That's why it's hard for me to stand up here and say, when I hear from God, I know I hear from God. But it took a lot of time to get to that point. It took a lot of mistakes on my part for him to keep correcting me, for me to know that. But I know what I feel, but I can't describe what I feel to you. I wish I could. People ask me all the time, "How do you know you hear from God?" Well, I know for me how I hear from God. But that doesn't mean God is going to talk to that person the same way. Because he knows that person intimately. He knows how they're going to pay attention. Right? Every, everybody's different. He speaks to us different. In the Bible, we can see this. God talking to the burning bush, right? Right? Moses standing there. There's a burning bush and it's talking. You think that would get somebody's attention? I might run away, personally. But Moses was drawn to it. Right? Something special was going on. And it was obvious. He must have known that Moses needed that obvious thing. Right? That saying something to him softly wouldn't get his attention. So we'll throw a burning bush out there and start talking from it. Boom! Moses got attention. It's pretty obvious at that point. But we see a different avenue in 1 Kings. This whole message came from 1 Kings, actually. I'm going to just talk about it just a little bit, but I was reading 1 Kings, and this is where it all kind of came from. 1 Kings 19, we see an interesting interaction between Elijah and God. 19:11, it says, now this is after the whole, let me give you a little reference here, okay? So they were worshiping Baal at the time, right? And so they had a little standoff, Elijah and some of the leaders of that time. And we're going to have a little standoff and we're going to pray over and see who can light the burnt offering on fire, right? Rocks and stones. Well, anyways, and that whole thing all just kind of happened before, right? And so now we're coming after this. So this is after that. And Elijah's kind of like in turmoil after that. You'd think he'd be bold after just doing stuff that just like was like crazy, right? He just, like, God really did something amazing. And kind of showed everybody who the God is, right? And you'd think he'd be bold, but he was still in turmoil at the time, right? So, anyways, 1 Kings 19:11, he says, then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains. And broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, right? So he's sitting there and he's there and this wind comes through, but he doesn't see it, right? He doesn't see it. He just sees that there's rocks broken. But the Lord was not in the wind, right? So he's searching. He's like, something just happened. Is the Lord there? Is he in the wind? But he wasn't. He wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake happens, right? So then there's an earthquake. And maybe the Lord, since I've been praying to him, maybe the Lord is getting my attention through the earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake was a fire. And so he must be in the fire, right? Moses had the burning bush. Why can't I have the fire? Right? Why can't I have the fire? But guess what? The Lord was not in the fire. He wasn't in the fire. So he's looking for grand things. Where's the Lord? Grand things. No grand thing. No grand thing. And after the fire, A still small voice. So he's looking for grand things, and here comes this little voice. Elijah. Elijah. So it was when Elijah heard it. It wasn't grand. When the Lord talks, it isn't always grand. It isn't always great. Sometimes, and I find even more so, oftentimes, it's a small voice. It's a small voice. That he wrapped up his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly, came to him and said, "What are you doing, Elijah? What are you doing?" Now, if you want to know more about what happens next, I'm going to encourage you to read it. Okay? It's good stuff. It's good stuff. But that's not part of the message today. See, when we bring a message, we could, sometimes I feel like I could give 20 sermons off of one message. And that would take a long time. And I could be very tired after. So I have to really pray unto God and say, "What do you want today? What do you want right now?" And then condense it down. So even though you're sitting there and some people will say, "Hey, you could have talked about this." I could have. But I felt like I didn't have to today. That might come out later, which is what usually happens. And then you get to listen to that. He speaks to us in many different ways, but are we listening? Are we listening? Do you know the way that he speaks to you? If you don't, we're going to talk about how we get there. But I'm going to tell you some pretty amazing things that happened to some people. And he was speaking to them in ways that you didn't think he would be speaking. I had a former patient who was traveling the diamond for her first follow-up after having chemo treatments. So she had her chemo treatments, and she was at the end of her chemo treatments, and she's going for her first follow-up and to see the doctor to see if she's clear. Pretty nerve-wracking. It's a nerve-wracking time, right? To see if she was clear or she would need more treatments. And the treatments took a toll on her, so she really didn't want more treatments. She was very anxious and began praying to the Lord, "Can you please give me a sign?" As she's driving the 2 hours down, right? 2.5 hours to Diamond, right? "Can you please give me a sign that everything's going to be all right?" That was her specific prayer that she was praying. This is what she's telling me. I can't say for sure if this is what happened, but I can tell you this is what she told me. A while later, she's driving, and she saw an actual sign on the side of the road. It was either a political sign or a person running for office sign or something. It was a physical sign. And it was whatever it was, the promotion. But at the bottom, it said, "Everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right." And she said, well, at first I was like, "Wow, that's pretty amazing." And then as she's driving and that county was where that person was running for office or they were having that political issue, and she saw that sign all the way down to her appointment in many people's yards. Wild, right? And people will say that's coincidence. And I say no. But she still, even after having seen that sign, had doubts. And she told me, "I shouldn't have had doubts, I had doubts." So when she closed the door in her car and she's walking in, she said, "Lord, I don't know if this is right or not, but I would like one more sign. I would like one more sign that everything's going to be all right." And she walks into the Dartmouth. And in the center, there's a person playing the piano. Just welcoming people. Singing, at that moment, "Everything's going to be all right." And at that moment, right? Goosebumps, right? Yeah. I mean, come on, right? And at that moment, Peace comes over. She threw down a fleece. And if you don't know what a fleece is, you can do some research on that. She threw down a fleece and God answered that. Not through an audible hearing, by an actual physical sign. And then an audible hearing by somebody else. Right? And she comes home and gets a call a few days later, and they say, everything's all right. You're good. Your treatments are done. You're in a good place right now. God speaking. Are we paying attention? Are we paying attention? Audrey was heading off to college. It's our first day down, dropping her off. Reggie's a basket case. Drops her off and cries all the way home. While I'm driving, so much so that Carla's like, are you sure you can drive? And I'm thinking, if I ain't driving, this is going to be really bad. It's going to be a meltdown. So at least I have to control myself a little bit, right? So I continue to drive all the way home, and I literally felt depressed when I got home. I walked in the door, and I just felt like something had been taken from me. It was a tough time. It was a tough time. And I kind of wallowed in that all night long. And I woke up the next morning and I was wallowing in that all morning long. And finally I said, I need to listen to something. Something of God. So I'm going to go onto YouTube. And I go onto YouTube and I'm looking through all the videos that are on there. I was like, how many millions of videos are on YouTube? Preachers I like to listen to, and I happen to choose Francis Chan that day. And as I'm watching Francis Chan, he starts right off the bat. There we are, at the gates, at the airport. I'm watching my girl go off to college. And in my heart is broken. And he talks about his experiences as the girl gets onto the airport runway to go off to college. And then he goes on and gives some encouraging words through that. And that broke my funk. God was speaking to me at that moment. That's a coincidence, right? Come on now. Come on now. Out of all the videos, the first thing he's talking about, boom, my experience. And it pulls me out. It pulls me out because you know what? He got my attention. He knew I had to hear those words. He also knew that I had to hear the words by somebody who was also going through something similar. And I don't even know when he went through that or how old that video was. But for me, it was happening at that moment. It's timeless. Those are unique and amazing stories of God speaking to people. You ever ask God something, open up the Bible, and boom, without really choosing a spot to be in, it's kind of pertaining to what you were thinking about? It's God speaking. Most of the time he speaks to us through the Word of God. Right? We gotta know the Word of God. This way you don't get deceived or fooled by your own mind. By the deceptive one. Right? We gotta know the Word of God. It's great to listen to preachers. It's great to listen to me. Right? Just kidding. But anyways, don't trust it. Don't trust it. You got to line it up with the Word of God. I don't care how smart the person is, how many schools they went to. You got to make sure it lines up with the Word of God. So you got to know He speaks to us through the Word of God. And sometimes we can ask God a question and start reading and boom, there it is right in front of us. And sometimes not. The more time we spend in the Bible, the more wisdom we have. You want wisdom to know what's right or wrong? Spend more time in the Bible. Spend more time in the Bible. The more wisdom of God we have, the easier it is to determine when God speaks to us in a gentle whisper. Right? If you know the Bible and you get this sense in your heart, in your mind, that God is telling you to do something, if it's not lining up with the Bible, then don't do it. But if it is lining up with the Bible, then probably that's a good path to go. So you can't just trust the whisper. You gotta confirm it's coming out of the Bible. It's lining up. We can feel more confident knowing that we are hearing from the Lord or not in those cases. The more you know, the more confident you can be. When He is speaking to us, it always lines up with the Scripture, if it's from Him. And if it's not lining up, it's from something else. Including yourself and myself. I can deceive myself pretty good. I got that down. I've been doing it a lot of years. 50 years, actually, to be honest. But, yeah, kind of like you, Sean. In order to be bold, we need to be very confident that we are hearing from God. We are making important decisions or performing important actions that God is calling us to do. This world is a fast-moving world, isn't it? It seems like things are just like boom, boom, boom. And really, the world is training us to be fast, right? We watch videos, it's like boom, 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 boom. The young people know. TikTok, like boop, boop, boop. Every 10 seconds you're watching, oh, hilarious, oh, hilarious, oh, hilarious, right? It's fast. It's fast. And a lot of the older people don't even understand how fast it is. It is faster than you could ever imagine. You think you know fast? It is hundredfold faster than you think it is. Things are flying. And they're filled with distractions, right? If I get going on that stuff, it could be an hour. I'd be like, bing, 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 bing. An hour later, I'm like, wow, where'd the time go? I'm distracted. Now, I line my stuff up with good stuff most of the time. So I get good stuff out of it. But still, it could be a distraction. Because even though I'm listening to good words by people, maybe I was meant to be reading in the Bible, right? Could still be a distraction. It's hard to say. So it's fast. It's filled with distractions. It's highly energized. And that's why you see people going at each other so much. People are triggered real fast. Real fast. It's highly energized. So it's important to spend time with Him reading the Bible. Right? It's important. It's important. Reading the Bible. Praying and meditating on what you just read. I can do my daily duties and pound through the Bible pretty good. I'm a terrible reader, but I can read it out pretty good. And not have a single word penetrate my mind. But I did my duty. I did my duty. I was a good Christian. I was reading the Bible. But I didn't pray about it. I didn't meditate on it. I didn't ask Him any questions. I didn't listen for any answers. You know, we always got to say, you know, we don't want to give you just one more thing to do in the Christian world, right? We can do a lot of stuff, like we can put a lot of pressure on legalism and stuff and say, you need to do this and you need to do that and you need to. Jesus doesn't need anything. But He wants to. He wants you to do stuff. But the number one thing he wants you to do is to get to know him more. And the only way you can get to know him more is by reading your Bible. So it seems like a pretty heavy pressure situation. And if you're going to do anything, if there's anything that you should do as a Christian, and you don't have to do it, but he wants you to do it, is read the Bible. Right?
I can remember back when I was deployed in 2004, 2005, I got a Bible, and there was a challenge there about reading the Bible in a year's time. So I thought that was great. It was good. I mean, I read through the Bible, but what did I get out of it? I read it too fast.
That's what I'm saying. That's what God is saying to me. Slow down. Right? It's a highly charged world. Slow down. Step aside. Do what Sylvia did. I need a quiet moment before I can continue. Okay. And we can even see an example of how Jesus spent time with the Father in Mark. And actually there's all kinds of times that you could, but I chose Mark. Mark 1:35. And if Jesus is doing this, it's probably a pretty good idea that maybe we should do it, right? 1:35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and he prayed, right? So probably the disciples had driven him nuts for a while, maybe bickering between each other. Maybe they were asking him questions consistently all the time, like over and over again. And he said, one day he says, you know what? I'm going to get up early in the morning. I'm going to get away from the distractions, the things, and I'm going to go to a quiet place and pray to the Father. And to me, when I read that, that was important. That was important because I'm a busy guy. I got a lot going on. And I miss the boat a lot of times by not getting to that quiet place and spending time with the Father. And I need to do it more. Now, luckily, I know, like I'm looking at Kayla, she got three little kids here, and Chris, and they got their hands full. Right? They got their hands full. Where do I find time? Right? And I was in that place. I get that. And the Lord knows that. Right? But he's going to open a few little doors here and there. And you get those in. And then what happens is as your kids grow up, my kids grew up, and Carla went back to work, and I find that I actually have a little bit more time. And you know what happens? When you have more time and you get into the Bible more, is you learn more. He reveals things to you more. Right? And as he reveals things to you more, you can be more confident. And when you're more confident, it's easier to stand in front of people who you don't want to be standing in front, and you can be bold in what you say. But that's because there was a process there. Right? We are to function and interact with this world. But we are not to be consumed by this world. Right? I've said this a million times. You all have purposes. I have a purpose. We all have purposes, right? God puts us here for a reason. But we're not to be consumed by that. There's a difference. There's a difference between listening to the Holy Spirit and following through, and then being consumed by doing stuff, overruling our time with Him. There's a difference. We need time with Him. We need quiet time with God. The more time we spend with Him in a quiet time, the more we can recognize how He speaks to us internally. Right? That's how it works. You spend time with Him, you get to know Him. Right? So when I was first becoming a physical therapist, somebody told me, you want to improve what you can feel with your hands. Well, here's a good task for you to do. You take a string and you put it in a phone book. And you flip one page on it, close your eyes, and see where you can feel the string. And then you add another page, and another page, and another page. And see if you can still feel that where that string is through 100 pages. You're exercising your sense of touch. Right? I could recognize where that spring was even with the whole thing closed. And you can ask Kayla, she'll tell you, and some other people in here. I can feel things. I can feel things. And they know it. Because I hear it all the time, like, I didn't even know that was a problem. And you're touching it. And it's a problem. That took practice. It took exercise in that, right? It took time. Time alone. Time in a quiet place. Which, oh, there it is. Right? That's what it takes. The more we recognize His voice, so if I'm listening and I'm trying to hear, how does God speak to me? And I'm spending time with Him, I'm exercising my sensitivity to hearing from Him. Right? And the more we recognize it, when we get up there into a chaotic, if you can start to finally get to that point where you're starting to recognize the Lord speaking to you, maybe putting some thoughts in, hey, you got to get rid of this sin. Hey, you need to reach out to this person. Hey, I need you to spend more time with me. And you start to get that clarity a little bit over time. And then what can happen is you'll start to do that out in the chaotic world. And you won't get fooled as much. You won't get deceived as much. Because you're going to be hearing from Him. Even out there. When things are going crazy. When you're at the supermarket and somebody, all of a sudden you feel this little thing saying, that person needs prayer. And you walk over and pray for them. Right? Now maybe that prayer doesn't get answered. But what you've done is you stepped out in faith. And that person got to witness something. Something they don't understand. And maybe they want to learn about that a little bit more later on. Right? So that's how this all works. But it takes time alone with them to get to that point. You've got to train. God wants to train us. Right? He wants to train us. And then we can be confident. Then we can be bold. Right? First we hear, we listen, and then we evaluate, does it line up with what we learned in the Bible? If it does, move forward. If it doesn't, move with caution. Move with caution.
Yeah, there's just an important piece to that. In John 3, when Nicodemus was asking Jesus, what do you mean by being born again? And it's so important that we're born again, that we accept Him as our Savior, and He starts to work in us. That's where the Holy Spirit comes from. And in verse 8, it says, the wind blows where it says, listen. And you hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So I just think that like is an important piece of everything that you're saying today.
Huge.
Because if we're not born again,
right,
we will not hear the Spirit.
Correct.
And like you said, like sitting with Him, of course, is going to make us just hear the Spirit even more. Even though we don't know where it comes from or where it's going, we trust it.
Right, right. And hopefully if people are not born again, that even if you can encourage them to get into the Word, they'll learn, right? And then they'll get to that point where they're born again. Yeah, so either way, it's incredible. That's great stuff. That's so important to know, right, for sure. It's important for us to make sure that we not only listen to preachers and read the Bible, but to see what God reveals to us in an individual way, spending time with Him. What He's speaking to you at that moment. Now, we could read the same verses, and the Lord can speak different things to each of us. And that is because He knows us intimately. Okay? And as stated, and here we go, 46:10, where did we hear that before? Anybody know where we heard that before? It's right at the beginning of the service. Be still and know I am God. Be still and know who's our leader. Who's the one that does all this stuff? Him through us. Let's get to know and learn from Him. That we can be bold in our beliefs and our actions. So, dear Lord, I just raise this time up to You. I just pray that we hear this message. I pray that we, even if we've been pursuing You, we can always pursue You more. People are going to be out there and they're going to be like, well, I spend a lot of time with the Lord. And that's beautiful. And we love that. But are we listening to You, Lord? Are we getting to hear You and feel Your presence? Are we in the Word enough to be bold enough? To show people a light that they've never seen before. To show people joy when things aren't going so well. We need You in our lives. We need You pushing us. I thank You for convictions. What happened with Randy? Because without convictions, we miss the boat. Convictions are good. You're telling us, come on, Reggie, you can do it. Step up, trust me to get you through that. Give us confidence. You're an awesome God. And I don't understand how You do it, but I am thankful You do it. In Your name, amen. Amen. Now, Steve has something he wants to share. We had a little situation this week. And when you talk about listening to God, you could stop this, Jerry. When you're listening to God,
recording stopped.
Crazy things can happen. And you sometimes He calls us to action.